All right, Acts 24 in our continuation of the study of the book of Acts. And Friday night in our Woodland study this year, we just started a study of the book of Acts chapter a week. So I'll just let you know how that goes from time to time. And that whole group being new to rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, let's just go back and start the book of Acts and go through.
Well, we're missing a couple chapters.
We are. I wish we could tape there. So
you take that.
I may take you up on that then. Thank you.
Oh, that'd be good.
Okay. Thank you much. So Acts 24, since we're rolling now, we'll go ahead and get going here and maybe have that discussion in the middle when the tape is stopped. Depending on how time goes, we may actually go right into 25 and do 24 and 25 in one session here today. There's not really a lot of doctrine. It's more Paul moving from being in front of person A to person B and then from person B to person C. And just because Paul doesn't even do a whole lot of talking in here, anyway, we'll just see where we go here. So Acts 24, verse 1. Actually, let's read verse 35 of Acts 23 just to get the perspective again, context. So verse 35, "I'll hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Okay, so he puts him in Herod's judgment hall. So chapter 24, verse 1, "And after 5 days," so we're only 5 days later, "After 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders." Okay, so this goes right back to verse 35. So here comes Ananias, the high priest. Remember, whenever you see Jerusalem, it'll always say either ascending to Jerusalem or descending from. Jerusalem is pretty much the highest point in those areas. So it means literally coming down the mount, okay, where Jerusalem is. So he descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, and this is how it was back in those days a lot of times. They would have somebody that was a very eloquent speaker, and many times he'd even memorize what he was going to say. And so that's who this Tertullus is for the high priest and the elders of the synagogue. So in the middle of verse 2, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. So he's kind of sucking up a little bit here. To the governor. By thy providence, verse 3. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man, Paul, for this man a pestilent fellow, and moreover a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. For what it's worth, that was the church I grew up in, the Nazarene church. So the sect of the Nazarenes, how about that? Verse 6, but I was very lost at that time. So, verse 6, who also hath gone about to profane the temple. And remember back there a couple of chapters ago, let's actually go back, chapter 22, Chapter 21, verse 28. Crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Okay, so they thought he had brought a Greek in there to pollute that place. So back to chapter 24. Verse 6, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. Okay, so again, there's this struggle that's been going on these last two chapters. Do we judge him against the Jewish law or against Roman law? Verse 7, But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take advantage, may take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. So they brought a lot of witnesses with them also, if you recall. So verse 10, then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. So this is Paul speaking to Felix. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Notice again, therefore I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. Okay, so they're accusing him of all these different things, and Paul said, you know, I haven't done any of them. They're accusing me of them, and they've got many witnesses here, but no, I'm innocent of all these charges. They wanted this guy killed.
You must have that 40 there, huh?
Yeah, I wonder. So verse 15. And have hope toward God. So, I'm sorry, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. Okay, so he's still believing everything in the law back there. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So remember this thing that was going on last week, the Pharisees versus the Sadducees. Okay, Pharisees say there is a resurrection from the dead. Sadducees do not believe that there is. So we had this going on last week in our study. And Paul's right there in the middle of it. And of course, Paul is a Pharisee, believing in the resurrection from the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object, if they had aught against me. If they got a problem with me, let them come here and testify against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. Okay, so once again, there's the issue, the resurrection of the dead. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul. Once again, a centurion, a Navy SEAL. I mean, he's putting the elite to take care of Paul based on the last 2 weeks here and all the attempts on his life. A centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid some of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also, watch this, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. He was looking for a bribe. Wherefore he sent for him, the offender, the oftener, and communed with him. So, let me keep giving Paul all the chances I can to bribe me, and I'll loosen him and let him go. 27, but after 2 years. Wow. So for 2 years, he just keeps them bound, looking, giving Paul every chance to bribe him to get set loose. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Okay, so coming to his room, so we have a transition of leadership here, okay, from Felix to Festus. Okay, but for 2 years, we see that going on. And that's why we're going to go right into verse 25, or chapter 25 here. Okay, not a whole lot of doctrine there in 24, just more historical facts. Remember, this all goes back, keep your hand here, I'm just going to go back to Acts 9, when Paul is first saved, and the Lord, at God the Father, commands Ananias to go to see Paul while Paul is blind. And in Acts 9, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, him being Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Okay, so that's his mission from right at the start, while he's still blind, when he first becomes blind. I believe that's actually the first day that he is saved on the road to Damascus. It may have been the next day, but you know, it's either the day he got saved or the next day, but he's blind. And that's what the Lord said to Ananias. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. And of course, he is the apostle to the Gentiles.
What verse is that?
15. Yep, Acts 9:15. To bear my name before the Gentiles, first, and kings, second, and the children of Israel. And of course, through the book of Acts, he's always going to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Okay? So, these last couple chapters now, 24, and now we're going to go into 25, he's on his way to getting in front of kings. He's working his way up the ranks, literally, the political ranks and courts. Yes, sir?
During that 2 years, did he write any books? Do we know?
No, he would not have written any books there. None that became scripture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hebrews. Sorry.
Already written. Okay. Chapter 25, verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Once again, ascended from Caesarea up to Jerusalem. Okay, up to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. So once again, it's the high priest that's coming to testify against Paul. Verse 3, and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. Wow, 2 years later, these guys are still plotting against Paul, figuring out how they can kill him. The chief of the Jews. I mean, man, they did more plotting against Paul to kill him than they did against the Lord Jesus Christ, almost.
This would have been 2 years after the previous Ananias.
Exactly. 2 years after the previous Ananias.
I don't know what their term is. Would they have gone after 2 years?
Would they?
In the high priest time frame, a serving. Okay.
Don't know.
I wonder if they'd be a different one.
Yeah, don't know. I just know it's the chief, as verse 2 says, and the high priest, not chief priest, the high priest of the chief of the Jews.
Yeah.
2 years, right?
Really think.
Okay. So anyway, the point is, here they are still looking for ways to plot against Paul in killing, even if it involves tricking the governor. Kind of amazing. So verse 3, you know, at the end, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me, okay, down from Jerusalem with me, and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. They need eyewitnesses. Verse 6, and when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Okay, so he's on the judgment seat. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul. Okay, so there many people came down, and each one of them is giving complaints against Paul, grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. False accusations. They couldn't prove any of it. And I actually have that underlined in my Bible just to make a point of that. Which they could not prove. All false accusations. So verse 8. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Okay, so Festus, once again, this battle, internal battle, the Jews versus the Roman government, you know, Festus wants to bring it back up to Jerusalem to get it into the Jewish courts, the Jewish religious courts. Okay, so he asked Paul right here, can we go up to Jerusalem and have court there, right? But remember, Paul knows that one of his charges from God Almighty himself is to get in front of kings. So he knows that's not the direction he should go. Verse 10, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be one of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Okay, so he's made his appeal unto Caesar, which he has that right to do as a Roman citizen. Verse 12, then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix. Remember, it was Felix, then Festus, and now we're going to make the transition to King Agrippa. Verse 15, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgments against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him, innocent till proven guilty. I mean, much like here today in court of law. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. By the way, in that verse 19 there, their own superstition, same word is translated religion in other places in your Bible. How about that? Superstition. Remember in Acts 18 when Paul said to the men of Athens, I perceive that thou art too superstitious. Thou art too religious. Same here, superstition and religion being interchanged. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, so back to 21 now. But when Paul had appealed to be reversed unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, his wife, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, so they're in the court of law, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. So they're going to court just the way they should. They're appealing to the next court, then appealing to the next higher court. Now they've appealed to King Agrippa's court. Verse 24, and Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him before you, I brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that, after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Okay, so again, we're seeing the going from one court to the next court to the next court, so he can get in front of kings, just as God had commanded him back there in Acts chapter 9. I'm just going to read the first verse or two of 26, just so you see where we're going for the next study. 26, we will really take some time to delve into. And one of the reasons is, chapter 26, Paul is going to talk a lot in Acts 26, and he's going to give his testimony. And so we really want to break it down and compare it. Again, Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. Those are the three testimonies of Paul's salvation. The road to Damascus, back there in Acts 9. So chapter 26, verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. And now Paul starts talking, okay? So you see, that's where we're going next week. It's just, he gets to court in front of King Agrippa, and now Paul's given the floor, and he's going to tell all about his conversion back there in Acts chapter 9. So you might want to, in preparation of next week, read Acts 9, read Acts 22, and read Acts 26. Okay, all three of them. We're going to compare, because when you put all three together is when you really get the full picture of what happened in Paul's conversion experience. Okay? So questions on today?
Where are we in 24? He says both at Jerusalem and down in the latter part and also here. Where is here?
Where are you in 24?
The last part of it.
Oh, the last part of 24.
I'm sorry. 24.
Chapter 25, verse 24. Well, they went down to Caesarea.
Okay, where's that?
Verse 13, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to salute Festus.
Yes. Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix. Okay?
Gotcha.
Verse 17, they commanded him to be brought forth. Okay, so Caesarea, down to Caesarea, up to Jerusalem, down to Caesarea. As I recall, that is, I read it somewhere this morning, it's like 60 miles between the two, between Jerusalem and Caesarea. So, and they said that's a 2 days journey. Apparently they could go 30 miles a day.
Walking or whatever.
Yeah, walking, horseback. But 30 miles was considered 1 day's journey at that time. Boy, I remember I want to say I was like 9, 10, 11. I think it was Weeblos or beginning parts of Boy Scouts, but doing a hike, and we did 24 miles. And man, I'll tell you what, we were woofed at the end of that. So 30 miles is getting on with it.
We probably
I don't know that we could have done 24 the next day. Of course, if you did it every day, that'd be something else. But our feet were blistered, and, you know. Yeah, go ahead and cut it.